In the faith, the messages from the word of the Lord within on this site are provided to help you gauge the truth of the words you hear spoken to you, to correct the many errors of the deficit sex doctrines, to encourage you, to caution you, to help you understand the true promises of the Bible, the true restrictions, the true hope, true belief, true faith, and true way to attain the promises. However, the messages published on this site are dead words, without life, whereas words that you hear him speak to you are words with life and resulting power. Regarding the similar dead words, without life, that you read in the Bible, the Lord has spoken this advice. When you have heard the dead words in the Bible and recall them, heed what is said, always obedient to his commands. Does that mean you should disregard any commands from him that you read? No, just like the many commands you read in the Bible, you should try to follow them. But as long as you don't deliberately violate a command, should you slip and fail, you should only regret your lack of ability and not feel condemned. The commands you have heard him speak to you come with the power to obey, providing you do your best to comply. The words you hear may not be exact duplicates of the words in the Bible or of these messages, but every message you hear from him will be compatible with the true meaning of the words of the Bible, as well as compatible with the messages on this site. Every message you hear is like receiving a piece to a puzzle, each word fitting together, filling the gaps in your understanding, until you finally see and feel the brilliant truth and wondrous beauty of the Scripture's promises, salvation, and righteousness. The unfathomable depth of God's love to crown his creation in restoring man to sanctity and holiness in union with himself through Christ. New Bible changes new webpage, changes new keywords, new messages from the word of the Lord within. For those who truly repent, great is their reward. Previous messages from the word of the Lord within that relate to the above new message are: we must be brought under the control of God by repentance. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth who stand forth without repentance. Attend to my words, guard my commands, let them form a site around you. Keep on repenting from the evil he shows you in your heart. Obedience leads to restoration of life. 6:19-22, do your best to follow the moral commands in the Bible. Previous messages from the word of the Lord within that relate to the above new message are: you cannot pass the moral commandments and be a Christian. When you have heard the dead words in the Bible and recall them, heed what is said, always obedient to his commands. The main moral commands in the Bible are: do not steal, do not lie, do not covet, do not murder, do not commit adultery and all sexual immorality, honor your parents, and do unto others as you have others do unto you. 3:07-22, unless I purify you, you will have no part of me. Previous messages from the word of the Lord within that relate to the above new message are: the pure is innocent of all defilement. I give favors to he who is pure. Sin is until salvation, leaving holiness and purity. The second coming is in the hearts of purified believers. The King is where he is King. Serve the Lord in pureness and newness of life. We do not sing from our carnal minds. There will be a group of purified believers singing of the blessing. Faith within purifies. When you sit and wait, hope for purity, hope for change. We go to him and he rains help on us. Well does this exercise of God purify those who do. We must serve the Lord in pureness and holiness. Your soul is purified by obeying the truth. Thus I come to rule in whose heart is thoroughly penitent, and you are redeemed from under the power of Satan. Those not purified in this life must suffer through the next. The words you keep rise up to purify you. Call on the Lord with a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 3:03-22, the living Lord teaches all things. Previous messages from the word of the Lord within that relate to the above new message are: I have come to teach all things. I have come to lead into all truth. My words are truth. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. Take heed to my words. Listen and obey. If you give heed to my words, I will dwell in you and walk in you. Attend to the words of my mouth. I have come that you might have life, the superior life of God. 1:30-22, the nations gear toward violence. 1:30-22, the soft tongue wins every time. By calm restraint is a ruler or judge persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone. Pro 25:15-11:07-21, all God's sons are tested. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he scourges every son whom he accepts. 4. Endure your trials with suffering as a discipline, not punishment, but training from God to improve your virtue. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom the Father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all true sons of God must share, then you are illegitimate and not sons. 5 Heb 12, 6-8, 8-31, 21, as Christ suffered in the flesh, so you should follow in his footsteps. Previous messages from the word of the Lord within that relate to the above new message are, any of you whose sting to bear has been hard, use these facts. All have suffered before you. Sin is excoriated. God will remove the burden in time, and the same is experienced by every cleanliness-desired heart in the nations. Therefore, for the several cases, we wish you well when you suffer. Take no offense. Do not be offended at anything. In the time of the enemy, there are difficult things to endure. Despise not the cross, through patient endurance do you possess your souls. Our aim is to bear all. You must learn to bear the pain. Either pain in this life or the next. Don't ever complain. Stand fast in the faith. Therefore, since Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind, because he who has suffered in the flesh is finished with sin. So that you should not live the rest of your time in the flesh in the lusts of men, but live to the will of God. 1 Pet 4:1-2. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, since you are partakers sharers of Christ's sufferings. 1 Pet 4:12-13. Indeed, all who are determined to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 2 Tim 3:12. For it is given to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Phil 1:29, 8:10-21, Bible Changes. The following has been added to the footnote to 1 Pet 3:15. Until you can speak only words from the Spirit heard immediately before speaking, to purposely talk to others about God or Jesus is as George Fox wrote. That adds to the burden and does not take it off. That premature teaching and preaching is a very serious error and dangerous to your life. There are a few exceptions listed below, in which it is sometimes necessary to talk about Jesus or God before you are guided by the Spirit exactly what to say. Talking to an interested spouse. A parent fulfilling their responsibility to teach morals to their children, which would be very hollow without bringing God and Jesus into the discussion. See What to Teach Your Children plus several early Quakers' advice to children. Answering questions from one's immediate family, especially courteous answers to questions from parents. Peter wrote that we should be ready with an answer. Be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that is in you, with gentleness and reverence. 1 Pet 3:15. A possible explanation, but whatever you feel comfortable with, is, I am following the hope of attaining a much closer relationship with the good Lord than what is taught as possible by the churches today. A relationship so close that I am guided by the Lord in words and deeds, doing his will on earth as it is done in heaven, while being in the kingdom when still on earth. After briefly answering a few, two or three, sincere questions, with further sincere questions, they should be directed to the website for answers, you saying, I am not authorized to teach. If you are further interested, go to the website. However, whoever approaches with insincere questions, wanting to argue, you should decline the discussion, saying, I am not authorized to teach. If you are interested, go to the website. An argument will harm you, and you should not give what is holy to dogs nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and tear you. The world is his garden. He is the one with the plan. Until you are under his total control, you cannot help him, you will only scatter. He has told me, let no one think we don't see and hear all. He has all the thoughts, words, and actions of all men in his consciousness. It is his battle. Wait until you are totally trained, then do only what he precisely tells you to do and when to do it. 8:15-22, the following has been added in the footnote to Acts 26:17-18. I, Jesus, now send you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, release from sin slavery, and an inheritance among those who are purified by faith in me. 2:2, they may turn from darkness to light until a man is crucified. He is cursed, living in darkness of the world and his heart without the guidance of God's light, sitting in the earth's prison of darkness, groping the wall like blind men, guessing what to do and say, even unaware that they are in prison, until they attempt to get free. When the prison guards begin their afflictions to offend and discourage him from even trying to get free and be restored to the image Christ of righteousness and holiness. Walking in the light, guided by God with every word to say and everything to be done. And from the power of Satan to God, what power of Satan? Paul answers again, "Where in times past you walked according to the ways of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air Satan, which is the spirit who now works in the children of disobedience. In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the thoughts of our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath and the object of his indignation." F2:2-3, what power of God? The first power of God is to believe this gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Rom 1:16. The second power of God is to exercise your belief in the gospel by bearing the inward cross of self-denial. And though the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Cor 1:18. The third power of God is Christ. To those who are called, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Cor 1:24. After you are in union with God, you have God's power to 1. Protect you from ever sinning again, and 2. Do his commanded and energized works that are your great joy and bring glory, honor, and pleasure to God. For it is God who brings forth in you both the will to work and the works as commanded, according to his good pleasure. Phil 2:13. But he who practices truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be shown to have been produced, formed, and powered through God. John 3:21. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Heb 13:20-21, that they may receive forgiveness of sins in the beginning if you turn from evil as best you can, those sins you have remorse for having done and stopped doing are forgiven. From the word of the Lord within, turn from evil as best you can and set your sight on heaven. Then, as you wait on God, the Lord will order your further repentance and show more of what are your sins. Unless you agree to God's charges of your sins and then forsake them, repent, stop doing them, there is no forgiveness. Release from sin's slavery, as Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." John 8:34. What is sin? Sin includes sexual immorality, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, profanity, adultery, lack of restraint, sorcery, hatred, arguments, jealousies, rage, selfish ambition, divisiveness, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, partying, evil thoughts, fornications, wickedness, deceit, blasphemy, pride, anger, boasting, flattery, immodesty, immorality, and foolishness. Any of these disqualify any man from heaven. How are you freed from sin? By bearing the inward cross of self-denial, which is daily to wait on God, by sitting in silence, as you listen and watch for his understandings and words that command your repentances from your behaviors, which if you obey, each sin is removed, even the desires for sin is removed. With patience and persistence to the end, when you see Jesus bring your salvation, you will be washed, purified, and perfected, renewed to the image of righteousness and holiness of Jesus, and receive an inheritance, what inheritance? To be born again as a son of God. To enter the kingdom of God while on earth and be there forever. To even be a brother to Jesus. For both he who makes holy and those made holy are of the same family, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Heb 2:1. Among those purified by faith in me, Jesus, exactly what faith is Jesus saying can purify you? The faith that the apostles preached was not an outward faith, but an inward faith. The object of both faiths are the same, but the differences are crucial to realize the promises of God. The two faiths are to concur with history in the Bible that Jesus was the Son of God, born of a virgin, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, etc. That is outward Bible faith, to hear the word of God, which word is in your heart to obey. This is the word of faith that the apostles preached, Rom 10:8-17. Hearing and obeying Jesus speak to you from within your heart is operational faith, inward faith, faith given to you by Jesus himself. With persistent obedience to the commands heard from God within your heart, this faith within purifies. Turn inward for inward faith. From the word of the Lord within, faith within purifies. Unless I purify you, you will have no part of me. And every man who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he, Jesus, is pure. 1 John 3, 3 George Fox wrote of this inward faith and focus necessary. The Father is in you all, Christ is in you, and the kingdom of heaven is in you. There, in your hearts, is where you will find them all. Know him there searching your hearts, and find him there trying your minds and hearts. Incline your ears, and give ear to him there, who will render to every one of you according to your words and works, whether they are good or evil. Your obedience to the commands you hear requiring your repentance makes you a little more pure with each act of obedient repentance. So wait, watch, listen, hear, obey. Wait, watch, listen, hear, obey, seek, listen, obey. Do this repeatedly, follow his commands, and his words that you hear him speak to you will impart the life of God to you, as he removes the sins from your heart, one by one. 30922, the commentary to Rom 8, 24 has been changed as follows. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he has already seen? In this present life we are saved by the hope of the true gospel, being purified, freed from all our sins, even our desires to sin, to become one with Christ and God, and be translated into the kingdom, all while on earth and then forever. From the word of the Lord within, hope releases the power of God to change you. There is no hope for anyone outside the power of God. Our hope motivates us to bear the inward cross of self-denial until we secure all of God's promises, when we see Jesus bring our salvation. 30722, added to the footnote of Matt 3:11-12, from the word of the Lord within, the fire won't hurt you. The flames and the baptism of fire do not hurt you. So when the fire appears, don't run. And when Jesus appears in flames too, those flames will not hurt you either. 30222, commentary, and or the footnote too. Each Bible verse in Matt, Mark, Luke, John, and Romans that references, you must lose your life to save your life, or vice versa, has been added as follows or a portion thereof in some verses. You lose your life at the conclusion of your crucifixion of self, with many, many acts of commanded repentance, several trials with suffering, and then the baptism of fire, which is the baptism of death. From the word of the Lord within, God treads down and throws away all that is unholy. There is a dying. One actually dies to enter the camp. You are raised to a new life, not just an imitation. He is one with us and ever present. These are not paths of glory traveled lightly. For detail on the baptism of fire and death, see the footnote to Matthew 3:11-12 on this site. Our sacrificial death, Rom 12:1, is the substance of the shadow animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. We die in the baptism of fire. We are resurrected and washed on the inside and outside with pure holy water. The blood of Jesus is sprinkled in our hearts and consciences, the door to our heart. And through the Spirit, we offer up an incense to God of praise and joyful thanksgiving for being freed from the darkness of this world to enter the kingdom. 30122, additional commentary has been added to 2 Tim 2:11 as follows. This is a faithful saying. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. You lose your life at the conclusion of your crucifixion of self, with many, many acts of commanded repentance, several trials with suffering, and then the baptism of fire, which is the baptism of death. This death is not a figure of speech. For detail on the baptism of fire and death, see the footnote to Matthew 3:11-12 on this site. 30122, commentary and footnote has been added to 2 Cor 11:4 as follows. For if someone comes preaching another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit from that which you have received, or another gospel from the one you accepted, you might well tolerate him. Paul preached a Jesus who forbids people from entering heaven who are sexually immoral, impure or covetous, or who have fruits of the flesh, which are sexual immorality, including adultery and fornication, impurity, lust, idolatry, including covetousness, sorcery, hatred, arguments, jealousy, anger, ambition, divisiveness, factions, envy, drunkenness, revelry, partying, and the like. Paul preached a gospel that could turn people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, receive forgiveness of sin, release people from the slavery of sin, and purify people to enter the kingdom while still on earth. Now, compare the Jesus and the gospel Paul preached to what Christianity preaches. Paul wished the preachers and teachers of today's Christianity to be accursed, Gal 1:9. 2. For if someone comes preaching another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit from that which you have received, or another gospel from the one you accepted, you might well tolerate him. Different Jesus. How? One Jesus excuses a life of sin in a believer, the other Jesus says to believers, "Why do you call me Lord, and not do what I command you? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity sin." Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of heaven. One Jesus offers a free ticket to heaven after you die in your sins, the other Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is within you, and which must be entered while still on earth so you can avoid being banished in the next life. One Jesus leaves you miserable in your sins the rest of your life. The other Jesus destroys the sin that is in you, freeing you totally. One Jesus excuses all past, present, and future sins. The other Jesus forgives but then says, "Sin no more, and repent or perish." One Jesus requires no works. The other Jesus requires perfect works. One Jesus judges people on whether they believe or not. The other Jesus judges people on their works and words. One Jesus is remote in heaven who doesn't speak to you or teach you. The other Jesus dwells in your heart to teach you, command you, cleanse you, purify you, make you holy, love you, unite with you, glorify you. One Jesus saves anyone who says the sinner's prayer, gets wet, and eats bread grape juice. The other Jesus is the author and perfecter of salvation to all those who listen to him and obey him. One Jesus saves instantly with little or no effort on your part. The other Jesus says strive to enter the narrow gate that leads to life, salvation, that few will find and many will try to enter but be unable. One Jesus requires no cross to be carried by his followers. The other Jesus says you must deny yourself and pick your cross daily to follow him. One Jesus accepts you just the way you are. The other Jesus says you must lose your life to save your life. One Jesus requires you to give up nothing. The other Jesus requires you to forsake everything. One Jesus encourages sin by freeing you from guilt. The other Jesus delivers and frees you from sin, making you fit for union and fellowship with him and the Father in heaven. One gospel forces you to die before you discover if your salvation was true or if you were lied to, when it's too late to remedy. The other gospel lets you hear God speak to you, frees you from sin, ample proof along the way, and then lets you see Jesus, bringing your salvation as he is resurrected in you, and as you are translated into the kingdom while alive on earth. One gospel presumes you are favored by God. The other gospel results in God demonstrating his favor regularly. One gospel asks for your money. The other gospel forbids preachers to solicit money, and sudden disaster overcomes any who do. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your hard-earned money for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and obey, and your soul shall live. So which of the two Jesus are you depending on? Not that there are only two Jesus. There is a different Jesus for each sect, estimated at 45,000 and increasing. Each sect takes a subset of the scriptures and creates their own opinion as to what Jesus demands, what he will accept, and what he will not tolerate. Even former choir boy, Adolf Hitler claimed to be saved because he believed. Answer this question. Which Jesus is likely to be Satan imitating Jesus? He who excuses guilt-free sin and promises heaven to those still sinning, or he who insists everyone sin no more, repent or perish, deny yourself, carry your cross daily, forsake everything, and lose you life to save it? Different gospel. How? Paul was sent by Jesus to preach the gospel, good news, as follows. I, Jesus, now send you to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins, release from sin slavery, and an inheritance among those who are purified by faith in me. Acts 26:17-18. In addition, Jesus is also recorded as promising that you can become one with him and God, and that you can enter the kingdom of heaven while you are still on the earth. See John 14 with footnoted commentary, click, and then John 17 with footnoted commentary, click. Have you ever been told that you can and must enter the kingdom while you are still on the earth? Have you ever been told you can become one with God and Jesus, which is necessary for salvation to be achieved? Yet both events are part of the good news Jesus came to preach, and then he died on the cross to show us the extent of our obedience required to attain. 1. Freedom from the slavery of sin. 2. Purity. 3. The kingdom of heaven. And 4. To become one with Him and God. The gospel is the ministry of the Spirit to totally free you from sin, as you repent from your old ways of selfishness on the inward cross of self-denial, to be washed, cleansed, and purified, to then be translated into the kingdom of Christ, and then to live in union with Christ and God on earth and forever. Scripture tells us that the gospel is a mystery. The mystery, which has been hidden from ages and generations, but now is made revealed to His saints. Col 1:26. And for certain Christendom, without a saint to its name, has no idea what the gospel is. They are not even aware that the gospel is a mystery. They think the gospel is, Jesus saves from going to hell by your belief that He is the Son of God, or the biblical books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or the imminent one-time coming of the kingdom, which imminent one-time coming has taken 2,000 years so far. From the word of the Lord within, the gospel is a mystery to the natural man. He cannot conceive it. The gospel is not a book. To be read, it is to be revealed in your heart. The gospel is pretty radical. It is mind-boggling unity with Christ. This I offered free of charge to anyone. Unless I purify you, you will have no part of me. Jesus never said you could be saved if you say the sinner's prayer, or be baptized with water, or eat bread and drink grape juice. That is just heathenish ritual. The wide and broad way of that leads to destruction. Today's deficit sects, still captive in slavery to sin and the power of Satan, believe in a God whose favor is presumed to be granted due to their heathenish ritual and form of godliness. They deny a God of power, who can and is eager to free us from the oppression and captivity of sin, so that we can secure His promises, which require our holiness and purity. These deficit sects have defined a false gospel that promises an escape from hell after death to those still sinning, and a false Jesus, who supposedly accepts sin, disobedience, and disregard of His own commands. Jesus said, "He who doesn't love me will not obey my teaching." As Paul said, "Cursed is anyone who brings you a different gospel and different Jesus from what Paul preached." The deficit sects falsely preach a different gospel and a different Jesus than Paul, while completely ignoring, totally dismissing, and failing to believe the good news that Jesus announced He had been sent by God to proclaim. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, who mourn due to their slavery to sin, to preach release to the captives of sin, and recovery of sight to the spiritually blind, to deliver free those who are oppressed in slavery to sin, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke 4:18-19. Jesus saying, "The time has come, and the kingdom of God is at hand very near. Repent and believe the gospel of God." Mark 1:50. Notice, the time of the kingdom's beginning was then, when Jesus was alive. The New Testament is full of references to the second appearance of Jesus being then, not thousands of years later. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is recorded saying that some then standing with Him 2,000 years ago would see His glorious coming in the clouds with the kingdom before they died. In addition, Paul, Jesus preaching, Jesus in Revelation, Peter, James, and John, all said, "Soon, the time is near, a little while, He stands at the door." Christendom blithely ignores this gaping incongruity between what the Bible plainly states versus what they are taught by their blind guides. It would be a cruel hoax to be waiting on Him to appear if the past 100 generations of believers actually had no hope of ever seeing Him. From the word of the Lord within, 6 attestations prove the reign's existence. The second coming is a personal experience. The second coming is in the hearts of purified believers. The King is where He is King. The gospel within this site argues for purity and a sinless state. Doesn't the gospel you have heard excuse sin, immorality, impurity, and ungodliness? Which gospel seems more godly? Which gospel seems like the narrow way that few will find, and many will try but not be able to enter through the narrow gate? Which gospel seems like the broad, easy way that leads to destruction where many go? Can you see Christ arguing for sin, imperfection, impurity, and unholiness? So which gospel is the true one, the one promising freedom from sin, or the one that offers freedom to sin without guilt, but which says that you have to carry your sin to the grave? Isn't this just making grace a license to sin, from the word of the Lord within? Just like Judaism was taken over by the enemy, so has Christianity, which is corrupt through and through. There is no church in the world that Christ set up specifically. None of the churches reflect true Christianity. Christians today are not Christians. No one on earth is righteous, not one. The whole world is cut off from God. The whole world has gone in the way of error. Everyone dies in sin. The world remains in sin. Do you agree with any who in their arrogance have stated that God excuses evil in believers? It's not fair, but they don't care. God is just beyond measure. The leaders of Christianity are dogs, blind, dumb, ignorant dogs, professing to know everything, they know nothing. Professing to know everything, they live their lives as fools. 2:26-22, commentary has been added to Galatians 1:9. As we said before, so I say again now, if any man preaches any gospel to you other than what you have received, let him be accursed. The gospel that the Galatians had received from Paul was given to Paul by Jesus, as recorded in Acts 26:17-18, Jesus speaking to Paul. I, Jesus, now send you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, release from sin slavery, and an inheritance among those who are purified by faith in me. Acts 26:17-18 comparing Paul's gospel above to what Christianity teaches the gospel to be shows how far removed Christianity is from the truth. 2:25-22, web page changes. The following has been added to the tribulation section of the webpage, How to Wait on God and Benefit from His Purifying Power. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, standing fast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by all your brothers in the world. But after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. 1 Pet 5:8-10, 308:22. The following has been added to the webpage, Our Spiritual Journey in Seeking God, because there are several people who have written me saying that if they could have a revelation from God of his existence similar to my described revelation, they too would seek God. *Understand, I was already seeking God, and had been for several weeks, as my primary main goal in life. Without knowing how to properly seek him, I was reading the Bible, giving to the poor, and attempting to meditate. I didn't learn about waiting on God and obedience to his commands to repent until several years later. So I already believed in a God, and I believed in his goodness, as many scriptures reveal. My promise was, in exchange for a convincing revelation of him being there, I would continue for the rest of my life with my best efforts to seek his will, his directions on everything to do and everything to say, for me. 2:23-22, the following has been added to the Ministry of Condemnation section of the webpage, How to Wait on God and Benefit from His Purifying Power. The conviction of sins in you is an integral part of the new covenant, established by God, and of which Christ is the mediator. As you wait on God, the commands requiring your repentance that you hear from the Spirit are new laws of the new covenant, written in your heart. For this is the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people. Heb 8:10, the words he speaks to us are spirit and life, imparting the life of God to us as his spoken words are engrafted into our heart. John 6:63, James 1:21. These words are teachings and commands. Those commands requiring your repentance become laws that he puts into our mind and writes them into our heart. Each law you receive is added to the inner law and the heart. From the word of the Lord within, when you have heard the dead words in the Bible and recall them, heed what is said, always obedient to his commands. You must obey every law the Spirit establishes. When you obey the commands to repent, by grace even the desire for that sin is removed from your heart. This process is repeated, first with your actions, then your words, and then your thoughts, until you have crucified your carnal mind and sinful nature. This is how you die to the law by means of the law. For you to be free from this inner law, by which all men shall be judged, you must submit to God condemning the sins in your flesh, with commands tailored to your life circumstances, and that you hear when waiting on him. Those commands are established as additional laws in your heart, in which are all the laws you must obey and continue to obey, until you are completely crucified, to then walk in love and liberty under no laws, because you are continuously guided by the Lord who supplies your every word to be spoken and everything to do. 9:16:21, the following has been added to the webpage: until your words and deeds are prompted by God, you must obey the inner law on the heart of every man. The first class of works you will hear God command you to do are works of repentance, forsaking your evil habits, passions, and pleasures. This is the function of grace, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Tit 2:12. The commands you hear him speak to you are to be kept, remembered, and obeyed. If he orders you to deny something in your life, you are to keep denying it. The commands you obey and keep are then written in your heart and mind, supplementing the inner the law already on every man's heart. Thus the scripture is fulfilled: I will put my laws into their hearts, and I will write them in their minds, inward understanding. Heb 10:16. This is the new covenant. For this is the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people. Heb 8:10. Of which new covenant, Christ is the mediator, managing the condemnation of sins in men's hearts with new laws commanded, which require works of repentance, obedience to which results in cleansing of sins. 9:14:21. On the webpage How to Wait on God and Benefit from His Purifying Power, the following words in red below have been added: it takes time, practice, and patience to learn to recognize messages from the Lord. His words are always kind, gentle, peaceable, easily accepted, without sarcasm, without bitterness, without condemnation, without harshness, pure, clean, humble, wonderful. There are never any emotional words, there is never any threat in his message. His words are plain, without humor, easily accepted, not embarrassing, always kind, firm, always moral, never contradicting scripture, immediately understood, factual, wise, easily understood, never upbraiding, never incomplete, never leaving you guessing as to their meaning. He condemns the sin in you, but he doesn't condemn you. His words will generate your remorse and godly sorrow, but not your embarrassment. 7:12:21, new keywords in the concordance. Click on the name below to see the applicable verses, description verses, people speak evil, men speak evil, people don't realize the evil that comes from their mouth. Matt 5:37, James 1:26, Matt 12:36-37, James 3:2-5-8. Blood will be disastrous for half of Christianity. The blood of Jesus will be disastrous. 1 John 1:6-7, Heb 10:29, Issa 24:5, Jude 1:4-5-8. Works of men, works of flesh, works of old man, works of men before their hearts have been cleansed who walk according to the ways of the world. Gal 5:19-21, Col 3:5-8-9, F5:3-4, 22, Rom 8:13, F2:2, F2:3, F4:17.